Oh, after he died, I'm afraid I felt too sorry for myself to live. And what had been our afternoon highballs together graduated into breakfast cocktails for one. I became an old souse, and I walked around not caring what people thought of me and just hoping that they'd leave me be. I ordered liquor up every day and cheese sandwiches from the drugstore. They had lunch counters in those days, and they were perfectly good spots to eat in. A damn sight better than this establishment, I can assure you. Why don't they salt the soups properly? You young are far too concerned with your health. After all, we're the ones who are dying, and we don't go around eating weightless, tasteless meals. So, I had the necessities sent up, and I'd wake up every day fuming with rage that Elliot wasn't there, and I'd mix myself one of my morning concoctions, milk, OJ, and plenty of whiskey, and I'd sit there and get lit, you see. And I'd laugh and laugh at things Elliot and I used to quarrel over and tricks that Elliot used to play on me. Anything at all to do with him. I'd sit there in my slippers and my house coat on the sofa with the shades drawn down until late in the afternoon. And if one of my pitying friends didn't phone and ask me to supper, I'd dress badly, order cheese sandwiches up from downstairs, and then I'd go to a man's bar, which was on the corner of 51st and Madison. It was a man's bar, but they let a lady alone if she sat at a table by herself and minded her own business, which I did, as I was very serious about the business of getting fully plastered each and every night of my life. Nightfall is the worst when your best friend and your lover is gone and won't ever return. How well I remembered the shudder that would seize my stomach each night when the street lamps were lit. That's the inexorable sign of nightfall in Manhattan. That meant rush into some clothes and escape the apartment before it closes in, smothers. Are you familiar with that smothering sort of sadness yet? Oh, well, I hope you never are. There you are, Connie. Give old Violet some more butter. Will you, darling? I'm not a sparrow. I need to eat. And so does Balzac. He likes butter on his bread as well. Don't needle me, Connie. Can't you see I'm talking to this perfectly wonderful girl? Yeah. Isn't she pretty? And now go and get the butter. I was telling you what became of me when Elle went and died. I was miserable and awful for 5 years. Not one, not two, but five. Self-pity is a terrible thing. No, grief. I wouldn't grieve, dear. That's just it. I wouldn't admit that Elle was gone. Until one day, I remember it well, it was July 12th, 1971, a friend of mine phoned and asked me to a party. And when I made by that point, customary refusal, this friend of mine tore into me. She said there wouldn't be any more parties for me because I was one of the most miserable persons she knew. She said, I don't know who you are, but my friend Violet Smith would never have behaved this way. She'd have pulled herself together and gone on. And then she hung up on me. Well,
I'd never been hung up on in my life. And I never expected to be. Particularly not by one of the most well-mannered individuals whom I've ever known. It was round noon. I ran into the bedroom and I threw myself on the bed and I had a really good weep. And I held on to those pillows for dear life. I squeezed them and I punched them and I'll tell you a secret. Yeah, I even kissed one of them. There you are, Connie. Here we are, Balsy. Here's a nice, fresh roll dipped in some nice, flavorless soup. And, my dear, I'll tell you, I don't know why, but I've never told anyone this part, although it's much less shameful than the part about being a lush, and that I've told, well, half of New York. But then I did the queer, and I mean queer, not queer, I did the queerest thing. I looked at those two pillows, and I remembered when Elliot and I had first rented our flat together. And Elliot in particular had wanted a good set of goose down pillows, and that's what we'd got. We got the best. We hadn't spared the expense. And I remembered all the nights our two heads had rested on those pillows. All the nights Elliot had held me as no one should ever be held. The way he looked with the two pillows propped under his head before the ambulance came. Gray skin, smiling, teasing me. And I seized those two pillows by the scruff of them, and I flung them loose of their cases, and I brought them to the window, and I ripped them wide apart. And the fabric was old and yellow, so it tore easily. And from out of these old pillows came a stream of virgin goose feathers. I watched them float, white and soft and slow, gently down onto the hats and the taxis and the newsstands of Fifth Avenue. People looked up and tried to push them away with their arms. At precisely that moment, I heard Elliot laugh and say, "You really are a misfit." And I knew I was over it. And I knew I had to leave the apartment immediately. And that's how I came to live here, in this fool's paradise we call the Upper East Side. 23 years. I never once looked back. I always thought it was those pillows that got me over it. There, now you're the first one who I've told. Balzac, sit still and stop that whimpering.
Dear Elisabetta, this morning at dawn on Mr. Schmidt's farm, we found a white lady, as white as the moon, lying there in the fields. I was barely awake. I just had some coffee and some bread in my stomach, so I was rubbing my eyes to see that I wasn't dreaming. But all the men were staring. Jorge, the pendejo I told you would never stop whistling, he was quiet for once and started to pray. Me, I thought she was a vision. She lay so quiet, nude under the cold Brussels sprout plants. The dew laid on her as it did on the leaves. And I thought, she may be the Virgin or a saint, come to give us some kind of message or guide. But then she sneezed, and I thought, she may be a witch or a demon, come to curse us, and maybe immigration will come to get me and Emmanuel and Alessio and the others. The two Chicano guys, who are not as religious as we, went inside to Mr. Schmidt's shed and took straw from there to cover her. Then they ran down the road and called the sheriff from a telephone. We were afraid the sheriffs might bother us, but we didn't want to miss any more of the day. We had already missed the cool hours for picking. The sun was out on our shoulders by now. The police came and took the girl away. They said all night they had searched for her in the sea. Wrapped in a blanket, I could then see She was an ordinary gringa. But how strange, no? I thought I saw a vision in the plants. What would we have called her? Our Lady of the Brussels Sprouts. I miss you and the children. Please kiss them for me. Here's your money, sweetheart. Love always, Carlito.
A thousand points of light. Who said that? Was that from something? Oh, God, protect me. The sheriffs are coming at me with a thousand light points, stabbing my eyelids like broken light bulb slivers, cutting inside my sockets beyond where the light has a right to go. Can't you dudes turn down the lights? Then I'll answer all the questions you need answered in your pantsuit. Oh, officer deputy, let me see your hand. Whoa. Those are kind fingers you got. Just the middle two? I can see better right now. Can't you dudes see that I can see better? What? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, Ossifer, your smartness is awesome to behold. My eye pupils are pinned. Yeah, because your light is pinning them in 1,000 points. Ah! Dudes, turn off the light or I'll puke. We can all see better in the dark. You dudes have no notion of what the light grains are doing to your stomachs and your hair and your balls. No notion of the ocean either. Hey, why'd you pull me out of there, Ossifer? Put down the styrofoam you're drinking so I can see. Those are kind fingers you got. I'm not sure about the rest of your personification, but those two fingers have got it going on. Those fingers could go places. In the sky, in the sand, inside of seashells. Maybe the crabs would bite them. Then you'd be lucky. Raise on. That's how they communicate. Snab, 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 say the crab, crab, crabs. Who made me like this? My parents. Hey, on that subject, aren't I supposed to be with them for you to be all interrogational and shit? Watch out! They're not like me. I like you dudes, except for your crazy ice cube lights slicing the vision off with their cold razor edges. Ow! Ow! But I'm telling you dudes, chill out with my parents. They're different from me. They were in anti-nuclear scenes. They'll be all agged that I even talked to you. They'll be agged I got up and walked with you dudes from off of that underwater Brussels sprout farm and didn't practice civil dis like I was born to. Well, how would you do underwater civil dis, right? How did you dudes get down there, anyway? I'm surprised you didn't have on Jacques Cousteau uniforms and shit. Hey, Ossifer, be nice. Don't scream at me or I'll cry. We were so chill down there in the underwater farm. You were whispers. Whoa. Take off these hand bracelets, right? I'm starting to bad trip. You dudes are getting all scary. Let me hold those kind fingers, dude. Just one. One. Oh, dudes, don't yell at me. No one sold me drugs. I don't know what ecstasy means. Is this ecstasy? It was before you dudes got all hectic with me. Now it's hextasy. Stop. Stop. 1,000 points of light are eating up my eyes like thermometers broken in half and stabbing. Okay. I'll tell you who got me high and raving, okay? Okay? I'll tell you who organized the rave. I don't know their names. There was a group of them. But I'll show you how they looked. They did a dance in a circle to the moon. Unkey the couplets and I'll demonstrate. Unkey. Thank ye, deputy. I knew your two fingers would do it. Okay, this is what they looked like. They got down on all 8 legs like this, and they puffed up their shells. Ha ha! Hee! And this is what they said. Oh, come, young scamp, and turn your lunar hoof this way and that among our saline hood. We'll teach your toes with bitings glad and wise to know your bleedings as we know the tides. So tide us with your heartbeat and your breath. Slip breathless down into our rusty caves and don the slippery bodice o' the brine and drink the mortal absinthe of green waves. Hey! Let go of my fingers! Get the cuffs!
Ah, sheesh, Glenn! Take her away! Let her watch TV till she calms down! No, no, no! Ow! Officers! I can't calm down! We're in a bad place! I'm trying to save you! No, I don't want to watch TV! That's telehypnology. The Brussels sprouts told me. It enters your brain through celebrities' eyes, and it forces everyone to see the same thing. Don't take me to the TV cell. Please, please, please. The light hurts. We all hurt. Oh, God. I'm going to throw up. Officers, start at one place and reach out in unstraight lines in different directions and you'll get where you want to go. That's all I can tell you. The ecstasy is over now. That's all.
Well, Jeanette, I like the way you redid the place. It's more you, isn't it? Is it? Huh. I guess I've known you for all these years, Jean, but I don't really know you, do I? You threw me for a loop there on the phone, Jean. I was sweating anyway because of how we left off our relationship. Arrangement. I don't know. What do you call it? I've always thought of it as a relationship, Jean. I've always cared very much for you. And I'm sorry about these last few, years. You got my apologies on that. It's just since I retired from the office, I'm either home with Polly down in Virginia or I'm flying around the world giving these lectures and I'm still sitting in on these damn board meetings. Corporation never lets go. Oh, are those magic crystals hanging there, Jeannie? I knew I never should have bought you that Shirley MacLaine book in the airport in Honolulu that time. No, it's just a joke. Look, I laughed. You made me feel human again. But, as I was saying, Jean, Are you just gonna sit still like that with your legs crossed that way forever? I always thought myself very fortunate in a myriad of ways, and one of them was to have met you. And when you told me on the phone that you were done with that side of your life, well, I was glad to hear it, Jeanette, even if it puts me on an awkward footing, not knowing where I. I've always just liked treating a woman like a... I just am putting my foot in it again. There I go. Hey, speaking of which, how do you get your feet crossed that way? Let me try that. Whoops! Hey, you always did teach me new tricks, Jean. Sorry, no, that's not, I didn't mean that's not, I'm sorry. You didn't used to be so quiet, you want me to go? I just...
Breathe, Paul.
The luncheon was a nightmare. I was giving my speech, and then all hell broke out in me. I went in the men's room, and I spewed up the entire luncheon. It was Cornish dame hens and vegetable bundles and some raspberry thing. I don't know. I spewed it all up, Jeannie. I went off the deep end like one of those gaskets on a lawn sprinkler. Just flew off and was gushing, flooding everyone's front lawns. Suppose if that happened, they'd take my lawn away from me and declare it a wetlands, Jean. These environmentalists are just trying to regulate all of us out of existence. And now they got my daughter Sheila involved with them. Suppose they did. They'd take me off the boards. No more speaking tours, no more executive pension plan, no more... You could be the ranger, Jeanette. Jeanette, listen. I'm cracking up. I'm...
Breathe, Paul.
This isn't intercourse, Jeanette. We're not,
No, but you always forgot to breathe then, too. Breathe. Hannah, could you put Sable on the phone? Hannah, Sable, your big sister, Sable. Give me Sable. Children ag me to such excess at times. Sable? Yeah, it's Clove. Hi, yeah. No, I'm all right. Are you in trouble? God, I'm sorry. What's that humming sound on the line? Oh, your parents are chanting. God, I'm so relieved my parents aren't Buddhists. Are they all agged and stuff about me drowning at the rave and getting arrested and like that? God, your parents are so overly righteous or something at times. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. Forget it. It's too dull. Never mind. Well, it's not your fault. You were trying to find me. Why do they always get all blaming with you? Yes, they do. They're all, well, you're all to blame and like that. Well, I know they call it karma, but I don't get the difference. Well, do you? It doesn't matter. Forget it. It's too dull. Never mind. Anyway, no, my parents are calm. They were all indignant that I talked to the state troopers and didn't go all silent and recite my rights and stuff, but they didn't get hectic about, don't take drugs like we did, LSD almost ruined our marriage, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they were kind of non-typically all quiet. I think my mom is spazzed that I'm at teen suicide risk or something. I know! We were on suicide watch, actual death. I know! My little brother Kyler typed it for me. I couldn't believe it. Did you diss that pedal poo PJ Don Magistrella or whatever her name is? I know, they're like all is she gonna commit suicide or I know, they wanted me to be drowned. No. Sable, is this you? No, I was just being all excessive in the water under the moonlight. It's like the moon was making this crescent cookie shape, cutting cookies in the back of my head, even though I was looking the other way, and the crabs were talking to me. It doesn't matter. Never mind. It's too complex. I can't. Well, yeah. I was with that dude Skitter. No? Oh, yeah. Skeeter. Well, yeah. We were by the cave, by that dead sea lion, or walrus, whatever. Do you think he's flaccid and weak, or do you think he's rad? Right on. I'm so relieved. Yeah, well, we got slithery. Yeah, that's when I went to the waves to wash his protein shake off my hands. My hands? Sable, I didn't like him that much. You do? Wait, did something happen while I was drowned? Whoa! You poached on me, you treacherous slut! God, now that's bad karma. Just kidding, it doesn't matter, I don't care, never mind. So, do you really want to hear what happened? You promise you won't think I'm all Juliet Lewis? All right. I go to the waves, and the ocean started talking or singing to me. It's like the ocean was this green spreading gown, and it was pulling me in it. And then these crabs were biting my toes. That's how they communicate. Yeah, they were telling me all these rad things. Oh, yeah. You should see my toes. They are wretchedly butchered. It's gruesome to access. But anyway, the crabs were pulling my toes and teaching me how to dance this crazy turning pattern for the moon, and then I could live under the waves and give the ocean something back for us destroying it. Like me for the sea lion, a life for a life. I know. I thought you said you... Yeah. Isn't it raging? Yeah. So I guess I was far out on the rocks, and the waves were slashing all about me. And I see this seahorse man crashing and raging way out in the middle of it. And I, Sable, girl dude, he was excessively real. Do you believe me? Rad. And then Skitter,
Oh, yeah. I mean, Skeeter was calling to me, and I don't know what I answered, but I jumped in, and the next thing I knew, I was swirling around in the waves. And then I see this white dude, and he's pushing the seahorse man back under the waves, and he's pulling back the dress of the waves to keep it from going over my neck. And he floats across the ocean to me, and he says, "This is way fucked." And he leads me down underwater over these underwater mountains and into this underwater valley where there's this underwater farm. But it turned out later, the state troopers told me that I had gotten in this cave and crawled over these rocks up a cliff and across the road to the Brussels sprouts farm where they arrested me. So this way pale dude leaves me there. And Sable, this is fiendishly odd. Don't spaz. He goes, he's all, "Don't tell people you saw me." And I'm all, "Who are you anyway?" Sable, "Promise not to tell anyone. Thou." "Right on." He's all, "I'm Cobain, the friendly ghost." I'm being excessively real. This was totally realistic. I was all, "Whoa, Kurt. I know. We don't even like Nirvana." "Well, In Utero is a good album." "It is." "Never mind." "No, I mean never mind, not never mind. Anyway, never mind." "Yeah, isn't it raging?" "What?" "Well, tell your parents to thwack off. I thought they were chanting anyway. Is that why the insect sound stopped?" "Just kidding, it doesn't matter, never mind." "All right, I'm fine. Your parents are so hectic. I guess we should just be relieved they're not all Hare Krishna like Sari's parents. Is she grounded too?" "I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay, bye."
"Harry, no. You're doing it wrong. The detergent goes in there, stupid ass. In there. Give it to me. Here, put my pink thing. Put my pink thing in too. It stinks of cum." "What? I don't care if people look at us. They could kiss my butt. Don't tell me you embarrassed. Are you a man?" "Oh, I forgot. You're a pimp. Terry, where are you going? Terry, I ain't gonna fold your wrinkly ass shirt, so you better be back here by the time they dry it or I'll throw them away. I don't care. Yes, he could slap me, people. I'm not afraid. Enough is enough. Shit, he didn't put the detergent right. Now I gotta go get some more. Excuse me, miss. I'm trying to get to the detergent machine. Wait. Is that you? Bushy? Yes. Magenta Rush. Oh, girl, where you been? Oh, girl, oh, my God. Look at you. You straight now. You just like a church girl. Yeah, I can't believe it's you. Oh, wow. I thought you might be... What, you thought I was dead? No, not Bushy. Not me. Remember little Louie? Yeah. He died. He OD'd. Yeah, that's too bad. God bless him. Oh, wow. You are religious. Yeah, I've been saved, Bushy. You can be saved, too. Let me give you our number at our church. Oh, my God. Remember how crazy we used to be? Remember ABC? Easy as 1, 2, 3. Ha ha. Remember number 1, number 2, number 3? Remember, girl, we made money. And we wasn't hooked up yet. I was just dabbling. We used to dabble some whack shit. Remember Angel, Mask? We used to drive around with Sambo and Tony Pony. Those boys were funny. I don't talk about those things anymore, Bushy. What happened to Tony Pony? Oh, girl, you were crazy over him. Yeah, now it comes back. You had to have the... Bushy, please. I'm sorry. Magenta Rush, baby, I can't get over. I thought you was dead. I
almost was. My real name is Magdalena.
Yeah, Magdalena Rigoba, right? See, I remember that shit. We were tight. We're gonna be tight again. Now I found you.
What happened to Tony Pony?
Oh, he was all right. That's the sad thing. He joined the Marines, and he cleaned up, and then he got killed in an accident in that last Saddam Hussein war that they had. Are you sad? Oh, Magenta. I mean, Magdalena. I don't know, whatever. Friggin' great to see you again.
It's good to see you also, Bushy, but you look...
I look once.
You know.
Yeah, I know, I know. I'm gonna change. Now I see you. I know I will. We're gonna hang out again every day like we used to.
I'm married now. My name is Magdalena Johnson.
Yeah? What's your old man do?
My husband sells Bibles wholesale to Christian bookstores. That's where I work now, in a Christian bookstore.
No shit, for real? And your husband deals books?
He doesn't deal them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Let me give you the address of the church. There are classes there for people like us every day, Bushy. You can come. You can be saved also.
Will I see you?
My husband doesn't like me to go out that much, but we always go to church at 10 every Sunday.
Remember Candy?
Yeah.
She got murdered.
God bless her.
God didn't bless her. She got found in 3 different parts down 11th Avenue. Not for nothing, Terry's Uncle Francis used to call that Death Avenue. Hey, let me help you phone your sheets. You're cramming them in the bag. I gotta go, Bushy. I love you, Magenta Rush.
Magdalena. I love you too, Bushy. Take care. Jesus loves you.
Yeah. Bye. I'll see you soon. Bye. Wow, I can't believe it, people. That was Magenta Rush. This is gonna be a good day. I could feel it. I'm gonna get high.
I'm remembering that I used to have these idiotic arguments about jazz. For years, no one other than me thought that jazz was serious music. Yes, Balzac, thank you for barking.
That does mean that Violet is smarter than everyone else.
I'd find myself in these dull arguments, passionate dull arguments with these very handsome fellows would be smiling at me far too much while I defended jazz. Can you imagine having such a conversation nowadays? No one will. I still think that jazz was partly responsible for the decay. Well, of course you do, Irish. I meant a modern person. I meant someone with a full set of teeth. No, Balzac, be quiet or we'll be evacuated again. Oh, speaking of evacuations, Iris, did I ever tell you the story of my last passage home from Europe before the war?
Yes, several times.
Well, I'm going to tell it to you again. There were hideous people on board this ship. First class was composed entirely of hideous people, apart from my husband Bill, there were 2 American families who supported Hitler. They were big fans of Hitler. There were some German businessmen and their wives, and there was an Austrian and a Frenchman who never quite told us what their business was. It wasn't clear. But it was very clear that they were cultured, intelligent, hideous people who loved to infuriate Bill and get him to argue with them, which was the stupidest thing to do. We'd sit there in the captain's parlor night after night when we could have been playing cards, and Bill would argue with them till he was sick. All night he'd be in the cabin, literally sick from having argued with these people. And
I know the story, Vi. I just
let me finish. Don't interrupt. It's not ladylike. So the only person on board whom I could stand... there was also a little Jewish girl who was a prostitute. There were a lot of refugee prostitutes at that time, before the war.
Yes, I know. I was alive, and I remember quite clearly. Yes, so let me finish. There was also this little Portuguese first mate, and he had a gramophone that he hoarded in his cabin.
And we'd listen to these sweet little boleros that he had from the Canary Islands, and then I'd bring out my vaunted Paris jazz discs,
And we'd dance round and bump into things and have a really swell time. Well, one night I couldn't stand it any longer. There was Bill with the Frenchman, the Austrian, arguing away, red in the face, about whether the Negroes were apes and whether the Jews were dirty. And you can't argue with these sorts of ideas, you see? And I jumped up and I ran to the little first mate and I said, "Give me your gramophone." And he was so bewildered, I said, "Give me your gramophone." And I went and I seized my Paris 78, the best. I wish I still had all those. And I marched back to the captain's parlor, cranked it up, put it on, and Bill said, "What are you doing?" He hadn't even noticed I'd left. I said, "I'm going, ladies and gentlemen, to do a little demonstration."
"Shh, silence. The whole restaurant is a little demonstration of how the Negroes and the Jews spend their spare time." And then I danced, and I danced, and I danced, and I danced, and I shimmied, and I shaked, and I rolled.
"Violet, please."
And I did it all night, as wildly and vulgarly as I possibly could, with the record playing again and again until they all shut up.
Everyone was very embarrassed, especially Bill. And after that, no one spoke to us for the rest of the trip.
Yeah, and the following year, your marriage went sour.
Yeah, that's right. It was the same year you had the affair with the two twins who were killed in the war.
Violet, you're rude and you're loud, and this is the last Sunday that...
Oh, forgive. Forgive me, dear. Forgive. I just think it's very important we remember who we really were. No one else will.